Yes, go ahead. Pull yourself up a chair here at the table of fellowship, and let's gather today in the perfect, beautiful name of Jesus. Good Thursday, Tia. So good to see you. This 13th day of August 2020. My name is Joey Kroll. Welcome to Mark and Friends. And I have the wonderful privilege of being the guest host each and every Thursday. It's an honor. Really, it is. To sit behind this microphone and hang out with you each and every Thursday. And I'll tell you what, in the Kroll household, it's been an emotional week. We said, see you later to our son Timothy on Tuesday. He is off to basic training down in San Antonio, Texas, and then he's going to go down. Yeah, by the way, it was like 103 for a high yesterday. So bless his heart. I can't imagine run into basic training boot camp stuff in 103 degree temperature or any degree temperature at that matter. But yeah, then he goes down to tech school in Biloxi, Mississippi, and we're just so proud of him. So it's been an emotional week, but God is good. He gives us our strength and he gives us that grace that we need. Amen. He really does. He is our refuge and our strength. It is a little odd, only preparing table for three instead of four in the house. We're getting used to that. Normally we grab four plates, but it's like, oh yeah, we're down to three plates now. So less dishes, I guess, and a whole lot more food in the pantry. That always works. Hey friend, it's so good to hang out with you today. For Mark and Friends here today, I thought we would hear a special message I did at my home church this past Sunday. We started a new focus, a new series on foundations. You know, there are, as believers, some essential foundational truths that we kind of need to know, that we need to stand on as believers, as our foundation. And so we started that series at our home church, my home church, Galilee Baptist Church in Decatur, where I proudly serve as the pastor. I've been doing that coming up on, we're going to be entering our fifth year this fall. It's amazing how time flies, but I thought we would just hit the pause button and hear a foundational, essential truth today from Genesis 1:1, entitled The God of Creation, on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. Hey, I'm so glad that you're here today. I heard of a story of a mom who was putting her 3-year-old daughter to bed. And, you know, any parents know here today, it's just like a 4-hour ordeal, you know, putting your kids to bed. I'm thirsty. No, you're not going to bed. And so anyway, so this little girl saw the big moon through the window, how big it was. So she asked, Mommy, who made the moon? And her mom said, well, God did, sweetheart. And this little girl asked, well, who made the stars? Well, God did, sweetheart. And she asked, well, who made the sky? God did. And she asked, well, what about the trees? And she said, well, God did. And then she said, well, who made Daddy? And she looked at her daughter and said, your grandma did. We serve a God who is a creator God. Amen. He is a creator God. And how many of us know that there are some essential foundational truths that we as believers ought to get down, right? We're talking about creation, because how many of us know not everybody believes that God created the heavens and the earth, right? So if you have your Bible, go head on over to one of the earliest pages that you have in your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1. And today we're talking about creation. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And all God's people said, amen. And so I want us to look at a few different words in that one passage. See, I'll tell you what, there are some pastors who can preach 12 weeks just on those few words. There is so much truth. You can't get all the juice out of that grape. Y'all with me here? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's look at the words, in the beginning. This speaks of our origin. This speaks of our origin, where we came from. That is, before your first breath, before your parents, before your grandparents, before your great-grandparents, before the cry of the very first baby, before the tick-tock of the first clock, before the beauty of the first sunrise, the beginning. You gotta get this. The beginning. The beginning. Sometime in eternity past, the beginning. There was a man by the name of Ravi Zacharias. Man, oh man, if you ever have a chance to get to a Ravi Zacharias book, you get it, because Ravi Zacharias was an apologist. That is, he stood up for the things of God and the truth of his word. He was an evangelist and an incredible man of God. He went home to be with the Lord, I think, earlier this year. He said there are four fundamental questions of life. When people ask deep, deep questions, they all stem from one of these four things: origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. Origin, that is, how did I come into being? Where did I come from? There's also meaning. There's questions that stem from meaning. What is the meaning of life? There's morality. How do I know the difference between right and wrong? There's also destiny. Where am I headed after I die? What happens? Where do I go? And so we're studying Genesis 1:1 today. This speaks, listen, of our origin, where we came from. You got to have this brick, child of God, in your foundation. So we see in the beginning, and then we see the word God. This speaks of God existing. Listen, this is a dynamic truth before creation, before all of creation. Think about this. Before the beauty of the first sunrise, God was there. Before the first mountain was laid, God was there. Before the first deep ocean blew, God was there. Before the first star was put in place, God was there. Before he hung the moon on nothing, God was there. And after all those things, God will still be there too, church. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 2. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, watch this, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Revelation 22, verse 13, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He is, the Bible says, from everlasting to everlasting. He existed forever. There was no place, there was no time where he never existed. The Bible says, from everlasting to everlasting. You guys remember a guy by the name of Moses? As he was hanging out, God spoke to him through a burning bush. And so God had said, hey, I want you to go. This is Pastor Joey's verbiage here. I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to tell Pharaoh, hey, let my people go. Get out. Come on. Let them go. And Moses asked, well, God, who should I say sent me? Because I'm just not going to go to the king and say, let a whole nation go. Who should I say sent me? And God says something interesting. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Tell him I am sent you. Now, if you read that, you'll be like, what? What does that even mean? See, the I am is the ultimate statement. Listen, church, the ultimate statement of self-sufficiency, self-existence, immediate presence. That is, he isn't called I was. He isn't called I will be. I am. He always existed. When God identified himself as I am who I am, he stated that no matter when or where, he is. He is. So folks say, well, brother or sister, person, name, fill in the blank, where did God come from? He always existed, church. The Bible says from everlasting to everlasting, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. At day one, God was there. At the beginning, God was there. Before Muhammad, God was there. Before Joseph Smith of the Mormon religion, there was God. Before Confucius, there was God. Before the Virgin Mary, there was God. Before Baal or any other false god, there was God. And after these false gods, there still will be God. Jehovah, God. In the beginning, God. And so let me tell you some of the most truest words you will ever say, read, or see is in the beginning, God. Because if you don't believe that, friend, you don't have a firm foundation. You don't have much of any foundation. In the beginning, God. Genesis 1:1. Next slide. So we see in the beginning, we see God. And then we also see another word, created. This speaks of what he did. I heard of a story about a Sunday school teacher who was talking about creation. She says, now children, who can tell us what makes the flower spring from the seed?
And one little girl, it's always a little girl, one little girl said, well, God does it with a little bit of fertilizer too. That helps as well. God created. This passage reveals an interesting name here. I don't want to go too deep here, but there's an interesting name here for God in this one passage. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim. And that's the Hebrew word for Creator God. See, when there's different names of God in the Bible, it's the one true God, but it reflects His character. It points, it's an arrow to His character. And the word created here is the Hebrew word bara, which means to create from nothing. To create from nothing. So God created this world from nothing. Hey, y'all, they didn't have Lowe's back then where you can walk down and say, can I have a couple of 2x4s? I'm going to create the heavens and the earth. They didn't have Menards back then. 11% rebate, by the way. Take advantage of that. They didn't have any of that. They didn't have Menards. They didn't have Walmart because I don't think he would go. He doesn't have a mask, so he can't go in Walmart anyways. He created, the Bible says, this world from nothing. You and I can't fathom that. Y'all, we just can't. We just can't. And so the rest of this chapter talks about how He created. He created from nothing. From nothing. There was a preacher back in the day called S.M. Lockridge. I don't know if you ever came across S.M. Lockridge, but here's what he says from Genesis chapter 1. He says, God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere on the platform of nothing and spoke a world into existence. The reason God came from nowhere was because there wasn't anywhere for Him to come from. And coming from nowhere, He stood on nothing. And the reason He stood on nothing was there was nowhere for Him to stand. And standing on nothing, He reached out where there was nowhere to reach and caught something where there was nothing to catch and hung something on nothing and told it to stay there. He created the heavens and the earth from nothing. Nothing. No Lowe's, no Menards, no Walmart, no Home Depot, nothing. Nothing. In the beginning, God created. And so today, I want us to take a look at four reasons. Four reasons why we can believe creation. So the first one, I like to call the common sense factor. You know, it's interesting. I think somewhere along the line, we have lost common sense in our world today. So much knowledge, but no wisdom, no common sense. But there's this thing I like to call the common sense factor. Think about this. You know, some people teach this whole Big Bang thing, right? Now, think with me for a moment. Has any explosion ever produced order? Has a terrorist bomb ever create harmony? Big bangs, they create chaos, church. How could a big bang produce a sunflower? Or an apple tree? Or a starfish? How could a big bang can create a sunset? How can a big bang create the beauty of a hummingbird? How can a big bang create this thing called DNA? My question is, what went bang, and where did that come from? Well, maybe it was a rock. Okay, where did the rock come from? Well, the rock came from a mountain. Okay, where did the mountain come from? How far do we want to go back on this? The common sense factor. See, life doesn't, cannot, and will never come from non-life. Nothing. And life comes from life, always. You know, that's the law. They call that the law of biogenesis, or something like that, to be exact. And here's an interesting experiment. When you guys get home today, I want you to go to your garage, and I want you to clear out everything in your garage. Now, your wife will love that. Finally, you're going to clean up the garage. But I want you to try this experiment. When you go home, go to your garage, and I want you to clean out everything from your garage. I mean, no tools, no oil cans or paint cans or any of your weird Coca-Cola signs. Take that all out. Clear that puppy all out. And make sure it's completely empty, nothing inside. And I want you to wait. I want you to close the door, lock it up. Wait 10 years and see if a Mercedes appears. Now, if that doesn't work, now go ahead and shut the door, lock it again. Wait another 10 years, a total of 20 years, see if a Mercedes evolves or maybe a BMW. Or if that doesn't work, wait 100 years. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Somebody once wrote the poem, "Once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, then I was a monkey in a banyan tree, now I am a professor with a PhD." It makes no sense. The common sense factor. Amen, church? Common sense. Common sense. We have this thing I like to call the Bible factor. The Bible factor. Why I believe in creation, and so can you. There's the common sense factor. In fact, you probably need a whole lot more faith to believe that garbage than you do what God has to say on the matter. But also, there's the Bible factor. Now, did you know that the theory of evolution, that somehow we've evolved into what we are today, is just that, a theory? It's a theory, church. It's a theory, an assumption, a guess, a hypothesis. It is not a fact. I hope you do know that, in science, evolution, the Big Bang, is not a fact. It's a theory. Here's what Dr. Newton Thelmason, who was a psychologist for the Atomic Energy Commission, had said. He says, "Scientists who go about teaching that evolution is a fact of life are great con men. The story that they are telling may be the greatest hoax ever. In explaining evolution, we do not have one iota of fact." Nothing. It's a theory. It's an assumption. It's a guess. The Bible, let me tell you something. The Bible is the Word of God. Amen, church? We stand on that truth. But also, here's the neat thing. It's also an incredible historical document. Non-believing scientists use the Bible. Non-believing archaeologists use, it's an incredible historical book. It's an incredible historical book. And so it gives us an account of how all of this just started. Look, if you would, in Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, "For by Him," watch this, church, "all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Isaiah 45, verse 12 says, "I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretch out the heavens, and I commanded all their host." If you want to find out who created the heavens and the earth, just open the Bible. And so we have the common sense factor. We have the Bible factor. And Joe, what's the next one? Because I forgot the third one. We have, the internal factor. There you go. Internal factor. Watch this. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Watch this. It says, "He has made everything," boy, there's that again, "beautiful in its time. And He has put eternity," everybody say eternity, "He has put eternity into man's heart." Every human soul, listen, don't miss this, every human soul has a God-given awareness that, you know what, there's something more. There is something more. There's something more than just to this transient world. Every single human soul, the Bible says, He has put eternity into man's heart, that we know that there is something more. There is something more. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 3, it tells us about the law, God's law, and how it's written on human hearts. The law is written on human hearts. That, in other words, we know right and wrong. Somewhere along the way, we know that murder is wrong. We don't have to turn on the TV to know that murder, somewhere it is written on our heart. There's that internal factor that we know that there's something more. We know that there's something more to this life than what we can see. There's a trucking company down in Atlanta, Georgia, called the Brown Trucking Company. You can look this up. And back then in the day, the owner would sit down potential candidates of who want to be employed by the Brown Trucking Company. He would sit them down and they would take a lie detector test. Now, this was all before he became illegal to do this, but he would sit them down and he would just ask them a variety of questions, because how many of us know character counts? You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna drive my truck, spend my money, I want to make sure you're an okay person. And so he would ask them a variety of different questions, and then he would throw in one little zinger: do you believe in God? And so most of them said yes, but he said one time, he said, every single person who said no, the lie detector test was going berserk, because deep down inside, we all know that there is something more. That's the internal factor. Here's what Warren Wiersbe, he was a great Bible commentator. He said one time, wherever you go, you find people with an inner sense of right and wrong. And this inner judge, the Bible calls conscience. You find among all cultures a sense of sin, a fear of judgment, and an attempt to atone for sins and appease whatever gods are feared. Isn't that interesting? The internal factor. We all know deep down inside there's something more. We have the creation factor. Look, if you would, in Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 19, it says, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, watch this, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of this world and in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. If you want to find out if God created the heavens and the earth, just take a step outside. If you want to find out if this thing about creation is really real, just step outside for 30 seconds and you will come to a conclusion pretty quick. And so four reasons why I believe creation is because of the common sense factor. You need more faith to believe that garbage than what God's Word has to say. There's the Bible factor that gives us the account of everything we need. And there's the internal factor that's written on our hearts. We know deep down inside, behind all the facade, behind all the angry Facebook posts that people may post, deep down inside, in the quietness of their heart, the stillness of their soul, they know there's something more. And also we see the creation account.
That's right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1. Thank you so much for tuning in to Mark and Friends. Have yourself a good rest of your Thursday.